Alabama and Tennessee's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three on Hump Day. And you know the deal, first part of the show, we always play the camel on a Wednesday, talk about Hump Day and yeah, getting you all the way to the weekend. But then 4 o'clock on Wednesdays, we do a thing we call the Grand Council. The Grand Council, where I bring in two of my brethren in talk radio who've been doing it longer than I have, and we just ping each other with questions and see where the chips fall. So let me call the roll on the council. From 770 AM, 92.5 FM, Cumulus Broadcasting's WVNN, host of The Dale Jackson Show. Oh, by the way, he also does a whole lot of stuff with Yellowhammer News and even has a TV gig. So, Dale Jackson, are you there? You are indeed. Stand at ease. And turning myself southward, I call out from FM Talk 106.5, host of the Jeff Poor Show on the radio down yonder, and the editor-in-chief for 1819 News, and stuff with Breitbart, and stuff with Land Yap, and all kinds of stuff. Jeff Poor, are you there?
I am present.
You are indeed on the telephone, and we're glad of it. I pronounce a quorum, JP. Hit it.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Ba-da. Ba-da. All right, Grand Council, first question. I'm going to go ahead and say phone guy, Jeff Poor, what do you got?
Should we be upset that Governor Ivey's daily schedule really runs from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m.? Doesn't seem like there's too much consternation out there, but the question is there, should we be upset about this?
Yeah, so did I see correctly that she has begun posting her schedule on social media now so people know she really is doing something? Is that what I'm seeing?
I think you're seeing meetings. You're seeing details.
Ah, well, I mean, she'd better, because right now the very strong sentiment is she's only doing ceremonial work and she's doing it on a limited schedule. And yeah, you guys got hold of her schedule and it says... Or is it Land Yap got hold of their schedule and it says that she pretty much shuts down 65% of the time by 3 p.m., which is fairly unconscionable for a job as busy as being a governor. So, yeah, she better start picking up the pace here and making the world aware that she's doing more than we think she is. Dale?
The Joe Bidenification of Kay Ivey is underway. it is clearly underway. The narrative is out. And this is what we're going to see a lot of, and it's not unfair. It's completely reasonable. It's exactly what's happening. There's a lot of people that are concerned about it. I talked to one elected official statewide yesterday, and he told me all of this is untrue. All of this is untrue. Every aspect of it, every single bit of it. She's fine. Yeah. She fell at an event for Caroline Dobson, and she had an episode, at a fundraiser and another event here recently, but it's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine.
But you know here's the thing. We can look north and see Bill Lee. We can look south and see Ron DeSantis. We can look, west and see Tate Reeves. We're seeing governors all around us who are out front leading the charge on the policy issues. And we don't see that I've known her for years and I like her, but it just feels like she's lost all steam. Jeff, it's your own question. What are your thoughts?
Why are these so-called statewide officials willing to give her cover? Have you ever seen a governor, even Bob Riley, Robert Bentley? I mean, go look back at the governors over the years. And there was always a little friction between, everybody else and the governor. But this governor gets away with everything. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's a complete pass. And I don't get it. But it's almost like no one wants to rock the boat and everyone wants to pretend that everything's right, because what that does is it gives them the ability to keep doing what they want to do. And if somebody comes in and takes charge, guess what? They're all on the chopping block because they've not been telling the truth. All right, next question. I'll take it. So apparently there's been a straw poll, 1819 News, Jeff Poore. You're reporting that a straw poll by the Dothan Chamber of Commerce. My first thought was like seven people showed up, but you say 136 people showed up. And 49
Take that, Dothan.
And 49% of them favored Tommy Tuberville to be governor over Lieutenant Governor Ainsworth, who got 33%. So now straw polls, I tell you what, I'll hold my comments for a minute. Jeff, it's in your periodical here, so what are your thoughts on this?
Well, I would say that, I mean, I'm a little surprised that a Chamber of Commerce straw poll would show Coach up over Ainsworth, because I always operated on kind of the assumption that Ainsworth will be the Chamber of Commerce guy, right? The business and community guy. Tuberville's a wild card. We don't know what you get with him. You know, this is not a scientific poll. It may not mean anything as far as elections go, but I'd be a little concerned that that's who my bread and butter constituency would be, and they're looking at another. Yep. Be like, hey, come on in, the water's fine, Coach. I mean, I'd be a little concerned about that if I were Governor Ainsworth.
What do you think, Dale?
I would be worried about, look, if Tuberville wants to be the governor, he's going to be the governor.
Yeah.
Right? Is that basically the gist of what you're telling me, Jeff?
I would agree.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I would assume probably.
I mean, that's the narrative that Jeff Poore is selling, and I know how that sounds. It's not meant to sound the way it sounds, but that's me and Jeff have been going on about this every Sunday night and every Wednesday day for the last like month and a half. You've convinced me, Jeff. If he wants it, it's his, right?
Well, right.
I think that's true. I mean, I agree with Jeff. I think if Tuberville, with his name ID and his red meat populist kind of base right now in his time in the Senate, wants the governorship, he's already a statewide candidate. It's just too easy to turn it into a governor's race. So there.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, here's the thing, though. Straw polls don't mean squat, generally speaking. I mean, how many times did Ron Paul, win the straw poll in West Alabama and then never won the state ever?
Or at Drudge or at Breitbart.
Yeah, exactly. So I look at this grain of salt, but the fact that they're talking about Tuberville and putting his name into a straw poll is a clear indication that people see him as someone who's going to jump in. All right, we got about 3 minutes. Dale, your question, what do you got?
All right, here we go. In 3 months, will Trump or Biden be trying to take credit for this peace deal that was announced today?
It's already happening today.
I mean, well, I know. But what I'm saying is, do we forget that it's Hamas? I mean, they're not going to stop. They'll be back. And this is not going to go as they're made. We have two Americans getting released, one not.
Yeah.
This is not going to go the way we're pretending in the media that it's going to go, like it's some massive victory here. Yes, the pressure from Trump, I think, led to this. Great job by everyone. Wonderful stuff. They're all trying to take credit for it now. 3 months from now, will Donald Trump be like, it was a terrible deal. No one should have done that.
Probably, but here's the other thing. Donald Trump almost went down the Obama red line, you know, kind of road by saying, if you don't have them all released before I'm inaugurated, all hell's going to break loose. So is he going to unleash hell at this point? That's what I want to know. Is he going to really get in there and say, well, you know what? Biden worked out this partial deal. I'm not settling for that. Guess what, fellas? We're coming over. I mean, I don't know what he's going to do, but if he's not going to unleash something, then he's got egg on his face because he said he would. Jeff? Did we lose Jeff?
Well, let me ask you this.
Yeah,
if Donald Trump doesn't win on November 5th, does this peace deal happen? And I don't know that it does.
No, I don't think it does.
I think that's a big component that you can't overlook, that, you know, there's a different pressure, a different environment, a different possible evolution. So Trump gets a little credit for it, but, I mean, it's sort of like this, though. It's still Biden's watch. Good or bad, he owns it.
Jeff, but my point is this. It's going to go badly. This is not going to be some massive, huge success. I think we all acknowledge this will go badly by the time this is all said and done. And I think that's the point I'm trying to make. This will all go badly by the time this is all said and done. And they will all say, wasn't me. It was the other guy. That's what I think is going to happen.
Or like I said.
Badly for thousands of years, Dale. I mean,
I agree with you. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but
if it's a prolonged peace and we forget about it in 6 years, I mean, it just depends on how long it holds and it's not on people's mind, but there's like another attack on Israel by these people, and yeah, it goes badly. It would be my guess.
Well, here's the other narrative, and I'll end with this. We got to go to break, but if Trump comes in and says, "I said I'd unleash hell, and now I am because I got to fix what Biden couldn't do," and it actually works, then he'll be running around saying, "You know, Biden's foreign policy was like always halfway. I made it right." And that's if that happens, then he will absolutely be claiming credit. I got to go to a break, fellas. That's round one, Grand Council with Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson and just little old me. Y'all stay tuned. We'll come back for round two right after this. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, we're back with round two of the Grand Council with Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson. First question, round two, Jeff Poor, what you got? Did we lose him again? Is he there? Hey, Jeff. Hey, Dale, what's your first question?
Sorry.
Okay, there you go.
I'm having a hard time hearing here. The other question I have, looking at this upcoming session, and we spent a little time talking about it, but I don't know what the expectations are. If they try to raise the internet sales tax, and there's a real push, and some guys are saying absolutely not, but it won't go away. I mean, this is a hill to die on, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And I was there when we formalized it and gave it a reasonable level. And I mean, there was all this, you know, like no one knew what to do and sales tax was already the law, but no one could collect it and the state was losing revenue. So we said, okay, let's do this. How about a flat rate of 8%? Doesn't matter where you live. And we'll divide it up among the locals and states. And everybody went, oh, that works. And states all over the place started calling us going, how'd you do that? And it was a game changer. And if they're talking about raising it, I mean, listen, they're a Republican supermajority. How about freaking act like it? I mean, they're already talking about, well, we may have taken too much and, you know, away by giving away the overtime tax. And, you know, and then they're scared about the grocery tax. And then, oh, by the way, why don't we raise the online sales tax? How about you just act like Republicans for once, for God's sakes? Dale Jackson.
I think they've learned that there's no consequence to this, right? Like, what if they do it? So what? What's going to happen to them?
Well, that's a great point, because right now they keep getting away with it. When you live in an R state where everything's R and there's no real competition, you've got to have competition among yourselves, and people are going to have to rise up that are more conservative than the R's that are in there to make this happen. That's all there is to it.
Yep.
Jeff, it's your own question. What do you got?
Well, I mean, I would assume, Phil, you and I are on I mean, does Dale Jackson get upset at this?
Apparently.
Apparently
he's eating a donut right now or something.
What
I don't
world?
Know, because, like, he sounds a little disengaged here. I mean, we talk about this all the time. We never talk about cutting spending or cutting government ever. When have we ever done that other than when the Alabama Policy Institute think tank decides to start their own DOGE instead of doing it, like, in-house? But, like, it doesn't – I think Dell's right, though. I mean, there's probably not going to be much public buy-in here.
So what we just heard was that Dale likes tax raises. That's what I just learned.
Awesome. I like that Jeff Lake starts this off by insulting me and then comes to the conclusion that I'm correct.
It's awesome.
Well, yeah, but like you're like a representation of the average person in this state, I guess. And oh, it's not meant to be insulting you, but you're right.
Yeah.
Oh, that was the most backhanded compliment I have ever heard.
You know what? No, I don't even consider that an insult. That was fine. I like that.
You're like,
I am America in human form. I'm cool with that.
I get to watch my Monday Night Raw and whatever.
I'm mad that I got to pay $14 to get it on Netflix now.
All right. Hey, let me bring you back to another question. Speaking of the legislative session, I think Tennessee went in today and Alabama goes in a couple weeks. And so is this the year when the Alabama legislature is finally going to realize they're going to have to legislatively define that men and women are the only two genders, and oh, by the way, that's biology based on birth. Is this going to happen this year? Because there's a push for it, but for some reason, it keeps getting lost in the play. Dale, your thoughts?
I think that they have kind of dragged this out about as long as they possibly could. They kind of nibble around the edges every year so the next year they can come back and do something else. It's like the ban on DEI. We'll do it for K through three, and then we'll do it through K through. You know, so yeah. I think they're nibbling. I don't know how much more nibbling you could do on this one. I think it's about time, but they've also kind of gotten beaten to the punch because looks like Congress could do something about it. And I wouldn't put it beyond the United States Senate to watch as some Democrats come over and be like, yeah, we shouldn't have a guy with a penis dunking on children. That's probably or dunking on girls. That's a problem. And I think they'll step up and I think they might do something. So we may not need to. That may be a different story. Congress may take it over.
The idea of waiting on the feds is one of the worst pieces of state legislation and misbehavior ever in like the history of ever. Your own thoughts, though, Jeff.
Go ahead.
Your own thoughts, Jeff. We're running out of time. What do you got?
It depends on what Governors Smitherman and Singleton think, and if they're willing to relent. If they're willing to give up the floor to let something like this pass, and my guess is probably not.
Well, we'll see. I personally think they'd better do it because I think they're starting to look really feckless. And if they sign it to a commission to be studied, then we're going to call them out hard. We got like less than a minute, Dale. You got a quick and easy question?
Yeah, I do. Huntsville has a DEI office.
Whoop, whoop.
Are they gonna be able to continue doing that? It seems like Craig Ford said, "You can't stop me. What are you gonna do about it?" Is that a challenge for the legislature?
Yeah, it absolutely is. And did Tommy Battle actually like want this? Did he ask for it, or is this?
It's been going on since 2013. He was the mayor when it started. He's the mayor now. It used to be called the multicultural thing. Kenny Anderson, the old head of it, said, "My biggest accomplishment was Jazz in the Parks."
Nice.
So good for him.
Transgender Awareness Day or something great. you know what? City of Huntsville is disappointing. It truly is. I mean, they are they're the biggest city in the state. They carry the most clout.
And Birmingham North. Get ready for it.
Listen, we don't need another Woodfin. So please, Mayor Battle, get your act together. All right, we got to go, fellas. I'm leaving it right there. Appreciate both of you. Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5 and 1819 News. Dale Jackson, WVNN up yonder in Huntsville and Yellowhammer News. And just little old me. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.